So yesterday in the shiur that we began to discuss the concept, the issue of chukas hagoyim, we addressed the pasuk in Parshas Acharemos, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Gimel, and we asked several questions, and we had two approaches to mahalchim. But the second mahalach that we discussed noted that the Torah actually has divided the pasuk into two. Initially, the Torah addresses Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo Lo Sa'asu, do not practice the mores of Egypt. And beyond that, the mores of Eretz Canaan. The verb that the Torah chose is the verb Lo Sa'asu. And then subsequently, the Torah adds Uchukoseim Lo Se'lecho, which we asked why the necessity for what seems to be a repetition in the pasuk. And the first answer we presented based on a yesod of the Ramban in Chumash, that the Torah initially will define and demarcate specific areas, but then the Torah wants us to get a sense of not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. So the Torah will sum up in a short phrase, namely here, we have a similar phenomena with reference to Shabbos, reference to Chashem Mishpat, Basisa Yashav Atov, also in the area of Arayas, Kedoshim Tiyu. The second approach that we took to resolving this matter is slightly along different lines. The Torah tells us that there are two ways to emulate the mores of Egypt and Canaan. One is that to follow their specific hanhogos in areas which Rashi comments as Dafka addressed to Mitzrayim and Canaan, because their actions were deplorable, abominable, absolutely reprehensible from every standpoint. So we're talking about Maasim Mitu'avim Upsulim. That's the first part of the pasuk, Lo Ta'asu. Then the Torah secondarily then has another statement, Uchukoseim Lo Se'lecha. We're not talking about now specific practices that are repugnant, but rather what would one consider to be Maasim Stomiim, that are not inherently negative in and of themselves. However, the Torah does not want us to in any way use them as models, even though the specific and particular practice is not necessarily something which is dishonorable, says the Torah. So here the issue is not the action itself. The action per se is really neutral, but the Torah wants us in terms of how we should model ourselves, not to model ourselves together with the non-Jewish world. And that's a Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that's kedai to see. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, you have it in front of you on page number 12. The Rambam says, Ein holchim b'chukos sa'obdi kachavim. One's not supposed to notice the Rambam's language. He followed the pasuk, u'b'chukoseim lo se'lechu. Ein holchim b'chukos sa'obdi kachavim. V'lo midamim lahem, lo b'malbush, lo b'seyar, b'chayotzimem, neither in their hairstyle, nor in their dress. Shenema, the Rambam cites a series of psukim, lo se'lechu b'chukos ha'goyim, v'nema b'chukoseim lo se'lechu, v'nema hishama l'cha petinok ha'shachareim, Hakol binyan echad umazi. All these tzukim have one common denominator. Shelo yidam elahem. One should not in any way be similar or follow their mores, their practices, their anhoga. Eliyah yisrael moved on lehem. We have to separate ourselves from them. The Rambam in a moment cites the pasuk. We have to be recognizable and we have to be able to be discerned by our levush, by our dress, by our deportment, just as our values, our Weltschang is different than theirs, Zechenu Omer, V'avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim, Lo Yilbash B'Malbush HaMiyuchad Ahem, a malbush which is something that distinguishes them from us, one should not utilize. Lo Yigadol Tzitzis Rosham, Kamo Tzitzis Rosham, V'chulu V'chulu. So the Keser Mishnah on the spot cites a famous Ma'arik, and I would like to actually explore that Ma'arik, but if you take a look at the Keser Mishneh briefly, and the Keser Mishneh essentially, I'll just first summarize it, and then I would like to examine a bit further carefully the Ma'arik inside in the Tshuva. What's just the Derech Agav fascinating is I own the Tshuva Samarik, and so I pulled out the Tshuva Samarik, and I have not really looked at it in many years, and Dafka, this Tshuva Peches, is not there in my edition of the Ma'arik. So then I went ahead and I asked a number of people, if they don't mind looking for it. Someone told me he'll look for it on Svarya, which I guess is a Google computerized nusach. And Peches was also missing on Svarya. And I was amazed by that. And after I read the tshuva, then I began to understand why you probably were censored. So I'm not a historian. One has to examine this. Maybe Rabbi Weichschlita, you'll perhaps look into the matter because you are knowledge. You have knowledge of all these areas. So look at the on the page 3 of the handout. I cite the Kesef Mishneh, and he says something very critical and very significant. He quotes the Marik. The Marik is, of course, Rav Cologne from Italy, and they're one of the great poskim. So he writes the following: what does the Rambam mean by the language that we just read in Perek Yud Aleph, Halach Aleph? Says the Kesef Mishneh the following: Lo niskavin Rabbeinu lesor el malbush hameyuchad lahem. He is medayik in the lashon of the Rambam. If you recall, a few moments ago we read the Rambam. The language of the Rambam is malbish hameyuchad lahem, only that which characterizes their dress. They wear a very specific kind of dress, which apparently identifies them, whether religiously or otherwise. Upirshu hayisraelim mimenu mishim tznia. So we do not carry on the way they do because of modest reasons. It's immodest dress. This distinguishes them as non-Jews. And because we are Jewish, we want to behave differently. We want to demarcate ourselves. We want to make a havdalah between ourselves and them. If we were to wear that kind of dress, then it would appear as if we are emulating their mores. Let's say it's a Western suit, a Western style suit that all of us wear. And let's say we decide one day to eat French fries, and they eat French fries. I'm not talking about the health aspect of French fries. I'm just talking about the culinary element of French fries. So that indicates the Kesef Mishneh is not a problem. In other words, there's no isur that one is not allowed to replicate. Everything they do, we cannot do. No. The isur is only lehidamos the goyim in areas where they are distinctive, unique areas that somehow accentuate their fact that they are Gentiles. That is where the Torah tells us lo lehidamos lahem. And this statement of the Kesef Mishneh, which is essentially taken from the Marik, is also a statement that many, many Rishonim actually more or less follow the position of the Marik. The Marik actually is quoted the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, even though this is the subject of a massive machlokes among the poskim. But I'll just also read to you that you don't have in front of you the language of the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch in Reis Samach Beis, titled Shaloleches Bechukos Hagoyim. So generally the Kesef Mishneh follows in examining the Rambam, often cites tshuvos like the Marik, but the Chinuch generally follows the Rambam. So he more or less quotes the Rambam almost verbatim. Shaloleches Bechukos Ha'emori V'chei Bechukos Hagoyim. He quotes all the psukim, and the Chinuch points out V'inyan HaMitzvah Shalol Nisnai Koyim B'malbushenu V'inyanenu, that when it comes to their nimusim, mores that characterize, that define them, that demarcate them, bidvarim hachakukim lahem, those are the areas that we should avoid, that we should distance ourselves from. And essentially, he cites a similar source that we're going to see in a few moments, Mir Hashem, in the Marik itself. So the Rishonim generally take the position, and this is a very significant position that the Kesef Mishneh quotes, there's no blanket prohibition against not doing anything that they do. That's not the Issa. The Issa is lehidamos legoyim, ulenasos lios kemosam, to try to emulate or simulate their mores, their practices. That's the issue, and that's the Issa. Now, if you look on page number 17 of this handout, you will see the entire tshuva of the Marik that I was able to Xerox. Someone provided it for me. So on page number 17, you'll see this tshuva of the Marik, and it's a very important tshuva because it really, to a large extent, captures the essence of what the Issur is all about, and that's really what I would like to, just for a few moments, focus on, with your permission. It's on page number 17. It's several pages. And the issue that the Ma'arik deals with is Al Derech HaKappa, the lower left-hand corner, Shorish Peches. He speaks about Al Derech HaKappa. Now, Kappa seems to be a kind of cape, C-A-P-E. V'yarucha ad la'aretz ha'leches panim v'achar u'psuchim atzodim. It's a long cape that was worn, a kind of beged, worn by non-Jews. And he speaks about the issue of tzitzis. And then on the bottom, there were those who contended that one is not permitted to wear such a garb because it's a violation of chukasei v'lo salecha. So on page number 18, the next page, the Ma'arik in Shorash Peches completely and totally disagrees with this position. He contends it is not b'chugosem lo seilecho for a number of reasons. So let's just read the maybe one column of this. When we speak about b'chugosem, there are one or two reasons, one or two bases why we should interdict such an item. The language of chog means we don't understand the reasoning why they're behaving in such a fashion. He quotes Rashi in Chumash and Kedoshim. The Rashi says, Chukim elu gzeras ha-melech, she'en lehem tam l'dobah. Just as Rashi interpreted in Acharemos as well, that Chukim are essentially not comprehensible to us. They seem to have no rationale. Baramban zal kosav, ha-chukim elu gzeras ha-melech, ashi yochog b'malchusa b'li she'igala to altam lehem. We don't know the reasoning behind it. Harei she'hush hushneem, d'loshen chog mashma, Dabar Shetamu Nelam. Something the reasoning is unknown to us. El Shavashi Tafas Bishono Kile Motam Kla, Lonistablo Nigla. According to Rashi, there's no reasoning, neither overt or covert. Ramban Tafas Allah Bekach, Yama Shesh Tam, El Shay Nigla, Vayotzi, Vazel Shayskir, Torah Shalalel, Bechukosayan. The Kemin Shuosa Dabi Mashuna Shayn Motam Nigla, El Shay Noagim came. It looks like, since there's no rational reason for engaging in this kind of behavior, but the non Jews do it. So therefore, it looks like we are following their mores. V'teda, and he brings a number of interesting proofs, and primarily from the Tosefta Masechah Shabbos, which is found in front of you on page number 12. Now, most of the items in the Tosefta that the Tosefta indicates to us that we should not follow are primarily items that are connected to necromancy, connected to nichush, connected to different types of sorcery and the occult. That is the more or less the content of all the items that I mentioned in the Tosefta here in Masechet Shabbos Perek Zayin. Some of it is quoted by the Gemara in Shabbos Nav Zachzal Samar Zayin Obeis in Perek Bamei Isha, and the Ma'arik notes that. And then a bit later, towards the middle of the paragraph, he indicates the Inyan Sheni, besides the element of Chok that we just spoke about, there's a second element as well. Yesh Lesa Meshulchuk Zagoyim, namely, Hu Adova Sheshach Bod Nidnud Pritzus Geder Atznius V'anova Yinagu Bogoyim Gamze Osur. So essentially, what the Ma'arik says, and that's exactly what the Kesem Mishnah that we just read a moment ago is citing. Namely, there's no Issur per se to go ahead and wear Malbushim that they wear, unless the Malbush is worn as an act of immodesty, as an act of pritzus, or the Malbush is going to be one that more or less defines their religious identity and the like. And therefore, he writes in the second column here on page 18, there's no prohibition against wearing this kind of cape. It has no connection to that Tosefta in Perek Zayin of Shabbos. That's found on page 12 in the Ma'amar Mekomah. Apparently, this cape was worn by a distinguished group of people who are professionally, maybe philosophers perhaps. They were distinguished by a certain kind of knowledge, area of knowledge, body of knowledge that they had. Because of their profession, let's say they were philosophers. I don't know exactly if that's the particular profession he's referring to, but clearly they embodied a certain kind of wisdom and they were knowledgeable in that area. And therefore, this cape represented that profession. And they wore it either mishum kavod, either because of it's an honorable kind of pedigree that they had, and this clothing reflected that, or because of some monetary reasons, et cetera, et cetera. So here there's no basis whatsoever, even if someone decides to wear this kind of a cape, there will be no basis for prohibiting it. And he gives another example, the Ma'arik, called Lover Sheesh Romashim Mefua, Eim Romashim Darki Amari. Sometimes people do things that are medically founded, medically grounded, medically based. And therefore, that does not consider to be any kind of chukos ha'akam or darkei amori. And therefore, he writes at the end of this paragraph, even though it may be practiced by non-Jews, as I said earlier, non-Jews wear Western-style suits and non-Jews eat French fries. That does not mean we're not allowed to eat French fries. It doesn't mean we're not allowed to wear Western suits. The interest is purely to Elos Rekovel. And therefore, he said, there's no Issa B'davar. And then he goes on in the next few pages to bring many, many Rayas, V'olchachas, in page 18, 19, and 20. It would be a bracha if you were to read it. The fascinating tshuva of the Marik. But essentially, the Marik takes the position, which is primarily a quote of the Halacha. Namely, the position of the Marik, if we can possibly summarize it, that he says that any practice that we adopt, if it appears that we're going to be following the ways of the Gentiles and we're acknowledging their religious identity, that would be asur. And he postulates the two categories. Number one, practices that have no inherent justification. The word chok, which denotes laws that are given without any kind of logical explanation. So the reason why they are prohibited, not because they are suspected of being related to the Gentile religion, but rather because we appear to be imitating the goyim who initiated them. Because why would we do something that makes no sense if not for the sake of conforming? And that's the Tesis Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, that we already referred to, who speaks of either a chok l'Avodah Zarah or a chok of shtus v'hevel, she'en lo tam. And the second category, again, is a category that includes practices that depart from the modest and humble ways which a Jew should conduct himself. And that's derived from the pasuk quoted by all the Rishonim in Re'eh. Don't be ensnared by them. Namely, that you should not say, and that's what the Marik quotes a Chazal. The Chazal said, just as they go with red garments, I'll go with red garments. Just as they go with kilusim, I'll go with that kind of beged. All these garments, says the Marik, represent gaiva, represent a kind of haughtiness, a kind of arrogance, a kind of lording over others, and it's not characteristic of the Jewish attitude and dress, which is one of tznius and humility and modesty. And the Marik is discussing customs related to matters of dress, but the same can be applied, obviously, to any practice that departs from our moral code of behavior. So the Marik clarifies, and he writes this in the course of the tshuva, I'm just summarizing it for you now, that the first has to be, the Marik says, a hachlota of the tzibur, that one has to, the tzibur has to decide what is considered to be dress which is Gentile in nature, which characterizes and defines their religious identity, and what is not. And therefore, if it's not based on religious mandates but evolved for other reasons, although we don't necessarily implement these customs, they're not also. In other words, the Jew is not obligated to be different from the Gentile absolutely. And that's what the Marik points out. And again, this Marik is very, very critical. And the particular issue that he raised was the cape. Either it was worn by philosophers or worn by physicians. Not so clear to me exactly, but in order to denote that profession. And the issue was, can a Jewish philosopher or a Jewish doctor use that garment? Although his usage originated with the Goyim, with the Gentiles. And the Marik answered, there's no decision on the part of the community not to dress in such a fashion. And even if there are reasons not to dress this way, but again, my intention of wearing that cape is not to imitate, but to be associated with a certain profession. And therefore, it's permitted. I was recently, namely about 2 years ago, in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue in New York. And the Rav happens to be a grandson of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. The Rav is an outstanding Talmud Chacham, and someone besides his yichus, he's also really a wonderful person. And I saw that he dressed literally all in black, like in black flowing garments. I was absolutely taken aback because that kind of garment I associated with a certain group of other faith communities. And we see that actually here, even here in the Middle East, from time to time, those who walk around can see those. And perhaps even in, I don't know if one sees this in European countries or in South Africa, perhaps, yes, I don't know. But I was taken aback. And the question is, so I asked the Rav, what is the basis for that? So again, he told me that is the Spanish-Portuguese practice, that Rabbanim dress with that kind of black cloak. And right away, he referred me to the Marik on the spot, that it's not a violation, even according to the position of the Marik, whose position generally is quoted al-Alocha here in Shulchan Aruch. But just in terms of this last issue that I just raised, Hishom Elecha Pentinoke Shachareim, a pasuk cited by the Rambam here in Perek Yudalf Chazav of the Zohar. So that pasuk is also cited here in the Mar Mekomos that I presented to you. And it's good to see that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Essentially, the Ramban is the one who comments now on this pasuk. The Ramban says that the Isur of emulating the Mores of the non-Jewish world can be extended even to Avodas Hashem. Because in Parshas Re'eh, the pasuk says in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Lamed, the Torah says the following, Hishom Elecha Pentinoke Shachareim Acharei Hishom Dom Yiponecha. Me too. Just the way that they observe that they conduct themselves, I would like to conduct myself accordingly. So Rashi over there, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, Rashi says the pasuk is not talking about what the Ramban says. The pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah kederach avodasa, worshipping idolatry, the way they worship in their faith. And therefore, the pasuk is not discussing what we are now about to talk about, which is the Ramban. The Ramban is Doche Rashi, and the Ramban says the pasuk is not talking about Avodah Zarah. It's not discussing idolatrous kind of worship, but rather Avodas Hashem. How do we know that? Because the Ramban cites the next pasuk. The pasuk that's juxtaposed to this, Lo Sase Kein Lashem Elokecha, is talking about someone who wants to be an Avodah Hashem, but he wants to do so following the model of the Avodah Zarah, following the mores of the Goyim. So the Torah tells us, Chas v'Shalom, Hishom Elecha Pentinokei Shachareyem. Don't be ensnared by them. Acharei Hishom Dom Yiponecha. After you went ahead and were Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael with the Zayin Umos. U'pentidrosh Leloheyem Leymor. Eicha Yavdu Agoyim Eiles Eloheyem V'yasekein Gamoni. Lo Sasekein L'Hashem Elokecha. There's a fascinating medrash in our parsha of Acharei Mos here, where the Torah says the following, in Vayikra Rabba, Chav Gimel Zayin, Omer Rabbi Rechia, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Lech Emor Li Yisrael. Moshe was told to impart the following message to Klal Yisrael, Shayisem Bim Mitzrayim, Hayisem Domim, L'Shoshana Bin Achochim. You are like a rose among thorns. Achshav Shatem Nichlasim L'Eretz Kenan, Hey you Domim, L'Shoshana Bin Achochim. Again, you have to continue to be Shoshana Bin Achochim, a rose among thorns. Utnu daichem shelo tasu lo kemase elo velo kemase elo. Don't follow the mores here. Don't follow the mores there. Hado dechsiv kemate eretz mitzrayim asher yeshavtem bo lo sasu. In other words, Am Yisrael in Egypt, we know that, and Chazal speak about this, that there was a fervent and passionate, concerted effort to maintain our identity and not to assimilate, not to acculturate among the Egyptians. Namely, levush, Safa, name, Loshinu Eshmosam, Loshinu Esfasam, Loshinu Eslavusham. Any nation that finds itself in a foreign or alien kind of environment tries its best not to lose its identity. So therefore, the sakana of this chikui in Egypt unquestionably comes to the fore once again in Eretz Canaan and not in Mitzrayim. Dafka, when Am Yisrael become independent, become sovereign and autonomous in our own country, and we're no longer Shoshana ben Achochim, so the awareness or the sensitivity to observe and to guard our identity, there's always a chash that will either turn to Mitzrayim or turn to Canaan, or in effect, and that's certainly true, we know from many, many countries where Jews initially migrated to, and after a certain period of time, even though they become successful with Siyata Dishmaya, but at the same time, there's always a great sakana, a great chash of emulating the mores of the non-Jewish world around them. And certainly, B'zmaneinu Anu, given the nature of the fact that we are a global village, we find ourselves geographically surrounded by many, many other tarbuyot, many other different types of cultures, and because we're in contact with all different types of cultures, undoubtedly, to a large extent, there's a tendency to actually simulate the mores of those around us, whether it's in the world of music, or the world of sports, or the world of entertainment. And this is a very significant and very fascinating issue. So the Ramban here has a machlokes with Rashi, and the simple pshat in these psukim. Are the psukim actually referring to, as I said, Avodah Zarah? That's how Rashi understands. The Ramban says, no. The psukim are not talking about Avodah Zarah. We're talking about Avodas Hashem. The way they worship Avodah Zarah, we want to now transplant the mores they have regarding what they do. So there's an Isur of Chukos HaAkam regarding Asiyas Mitzvah Satorah. We're not supposed to do the Mitzvah Satorah the way they go ahead and carry on their Avodah Zarah. But the Pasuk is not talking about Avodah Zarah. We're talking about Darchei HaGoyim. Hishom Elecha Petinokesh HaChareyim. And this is one of the Mekoros for the Issur Chukos HaAkam quoted here by the Rambam that we just read in Perek Yidal Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Even though the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to be supporting Rashi. The Gemara in Daf Samech Aleph indicates that entire Parsha is talking about Oyved Avodah Zarah. However, the Ramban somehow sees in this Pasuk that we're trying to go and extrapolate from there to Avodas Hashem, and that's where the Torah wants us and warns us regarding this kind of behavior. And this is relevant actually to a host of issues that perhaps B'li Neder, we will attempt to discuss them once we get through a number of the basics that I would like to speak about before I discuss those issues, because there are a whole slew of issues that are relevant to this discussion of the Ramban. What I would like to do, however, first, is examine two Gemaras found on page 12 and page 13. These are two very famous Gemaras that seem to be in contradiction one with the other. There seems to be an outright stira. And let's try to summarize both texts that deal with this issue of Chukos HaAkam. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Adaf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that's found on page number 12, lower right-hand corner, with the Tosfos, the Gemara tells us the following. It speaks about a minhag that non-Jews had. They would burn the beds and all the artifacts of their kings. Once their kings actually passed on, after their demise, the minhag was, as the Braisa writes, sorfin ala malochim. This was such a practice. So initially, the Gemara actually, if you look at the bottom of page 12, the Gemara asked the Kasha, that it would seem that this is a chok l'Avodah Zarah, that this kind of practice that was practiced by non-Jews, that they went ahead and they burnt all the chafotzim of their malachim after their demise, that this is l'Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara asked the Kasha, how could you say that? V'atanya, it's on the fourth line here. Sorfin ala malachim. V'lo midarkei amori. The Gemara says that apparently this is also a custom at Jewish kings' funerals. They did the same. They also burned chafotzim, they burned articles and artifacts of Jewish kings. The Gemara says that there's bi chukahi. How could you do it? If it's a chok l'Avodah Zarah, v'oksid v'chukosem lo seleichu, elo dekuliyamu sveifu l'av chukahi. The Gemara says, no, it's not an act of idolatry. Elo chashivusahi. The Gemara says that this is not an idolatrous act, but an act of high esteem for the deceased, for the demise of the king. It's kavod ames. So the reason why we do it is Mishum Kovid, Mishum Chashivus. That's the upshot of the Gemara over here in Avodah Zarah. On page number 13, on top of the page, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah, on Daf Nun Beis Nun Beis. So the Mishnah is discussing the Dalam Mises Bezdin. As we know, there are several Mishnayos that deal with Skila, Sveifa, Her, V'chenek. So we're talking about that when a person is beheaded by the sword. So now, how do you go about doing it? So the Mishnah writes, Mitzvah Sanei Rogin, they would literally behead the individual and they would cut off his head with a sword. Hatoza sarosh. Kiderech shamalchus osa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that is something which is inappropriate. Nivul hulo. That would be a hideous kind of disfigurement. Inappropriate to do it in such a fashion. Ela manichin esrosho ala sadan. The code says bekupitz. He said, you put his head on a block and you sever it with an axe. Amulah, they responded to him, what? Ein nisam nuvels mizo? What could be more disfiguring than that? Your suggestion is something way, way beyond that which we're talking about. So the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara discusses this halacha, the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, again, found directly below on the top of page 13. The Gemara refers to this discussion, whether it's b'chukosem lo seleichu, because Rabbi Yehuda said to Chacham, I also know, he admitted. If you take a look, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chacham, Afani Yodea Hashem Yisum Menuvelosi. I also know that this is repulsive, the approach that I suggested. Aba Ma'ese, Sharem Torah, V'chukosem, Lo Seleichu. Since the Torah said, V'chukosem, Lo Seleichu, the method that's used by the civil authorities, by the Gentile world, cannot be allowed. So the Chacham responded to that. They said, no. They answered, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanon, came in the Chsiv, Sayyid Baraisa. They said, no, since the Torah already decreed the method of the sword, so we did not derive this practice from them. Lo minayu kogamrinon. We didn't derive it for them. And if you will not agree to what I'm saying, then we have the following problem. So here the Gemara in Sanhedrin clearly has a different perspective. The Gemara says that there was a burning of articles at a king's funeral, not just a non-Jew, but rather the funeral of a Jewish king. Also, they would burn all of his chafotzim. It's not called Darkei Amori. And there's a pasuk in Tanakh. The Gemara actually used the Lashon that Ksiva Sreifa Baraisa. But it's a pasuk in Tanakh, in Yemiyo, Perek Lama Dalin, where Yemiyo Hanavi says to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, that you're going to die in peace. And just as the burnings of your fathers, the former kings, so too they're going to make a burning from you. So you see here that the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin has a different criteria. The fact that it's prescribed in the Torah, the fact that it's mentioned in Tanakh, albeit there may be an act that's accepted by idolaters, but it becomes permissible because we did not derive it from them. Our source is Tanakh. Our source is Psukim, not their Hanhoga. So that seems to be now not in sync with the other sugya that we just learned a moment ago in Avodah Zarah. And this kasha is asked by both Taisin Sanhedrin and Taisin Avodah Zarah. Take a look at the bottom of page 12, the Taisin is the kasha. On the top of page 13, Taisin Sanhedrin is the kasha. There's an inconsistency, there's a steer between these two texts, because the Gemara and Avodah Zarah indicate that it's not considered to be a chok of Avodah Zarah, because it was Mishum Chashivus. It was not Mishum Kavod HaMes. That's why they administered this practice to those kings. It wasn't a practice directed at their idols. On the other hand, the Gemara Sanhedrin indicates, by virtue of the fact that it's prescribed in the Torah, namely in Tanakh, even though it may have been an act accepted by of the Avodah Zarah by idolaters, that it became permissible. So we have two different criteria that are mentioned, one by the Gemara in Sanhedrin, one by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and that's a stira that takes place in both places in Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah. So essentially, to be miyashi the stira, to clarify these conflicting passages, Tosis tells us that there are two types of customs that are prohibited by the Torah. And this is what he mentioned on Daf Yud Aleph and Avodah Zarah, the Tosis there that's found on the bottom of page 12. And Tosis number 13 also more or less echoes and replicates this answer. And that is to say, there are two customs that are problematic. One is the Chag L'Avodah Zarah. And secondly, the customs that, although not related to idolatry, are performed for foolish reasons or vain reasons or no reasons at all. Those are the two issues. And Tosfos goes further and says that those customs that fall in the category of Chok L'Avodah Zarah, even the Torah sanctions them. But if they're adapted by the non-Jewish nations as idolatrous rituals, they become asur. And Tosfos refers as a raya to this idea to the concept of Matzeva. Matzeva is a single stone, and they used to bring sacrifices upon the Matzeva. So we know that in Sefer Bereishis, we have many, many examples of matzevos that were actually built by the Avoseinu HaKdoshim. And yet the Torah in Sefer Dvarim tells us very clearly, Lo sokim b'chol matzeva, asher soni Hashem Elokecha, a parsha beginning of Shoftim. Because eventually, the matzeva was adopted by the Goyish world, by the non-Jewish world. The Ramban of Ayikra, Perek Yudches, he discusses matzeva as opposed to a mizbeach, and korbanos that are customarily found among the nations. But those customs that are not related to their religion, but are simply practices based on their own attitudes, if they're warranted by the Torah, do not become asur. And that's why the Gemara in Avodah Zarah first has to establish what is the nature of this custom. Is it related to idol worship? Is it not related to idol worship? Similarly, in Sanhedrin, the Chazal have to first state that execution by means of a sword is preferred because it's far more humane. It's not being done for idolatrous reasons. It's not based on Avodah Zarah. And once we establish that, then the Gemara Sanhedrin can say that since this anhoga is sanctioned in the Torah, even if it's practiced by the nations, it remains asur. So that's how Tosis essentially tries to be miyashing the two Gemaras, the stira between the Gemara Sanhedrin and the Gemara Avodah Zarah. And there's a third time that the Ma'arik also mentioned in the Tshuva, namely, not just the Chag L'Avodah Zarah, and not just if it's shtus v'hevel, but the shem pritzos. If dress is worn for the reasons of immodesty, immodest behavior, that also is a chag L'Avodah Zarah. That's also under the strictures of Chuppas HaAkum. So there is as I mentioned, there are a lot of discussion, enormous amount of discussion. We cited before, we tried to summarize a bit the Ma'arik And the Ma'arik more or less sums up and tries to encapsulate what exactly the Isur of Chukos HaKam is. And the specific example was that of a cape worn by a doctor or worn by a philosopher. It's not clear to me what exactly it's being utilized for. But clearly, the Ma'arik understood, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that she'asorfin ala malachim, when we burn a king's possessions as an act of chashivos, and therefore it's not also, it means that since it's a custom that's done for rational reasons, in adopting it, we have not acknowledged the Gentile world, but rather the underlying katsu of Kavan HaMes. Notice the Ma'arik is also accepting the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in preference to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which requires the minute to be warranted by the Torah, to be found in Tanakh, in some pasuk. But here, again, as I said, the Ma'arik is, in effect, telling us a very significant yesod, and that yesod actually is one that is quoted lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. There is another machlokes that we'll have to be referring to, namely a machlokes between the Ma'arik and the Vilna Gaon. Means essentially the position of the Ma'arik that a Jew follows a custom for his own reasons. He's not acknowledging Gentile standards, and therefore the practice is not prohibited de facto. We don't assume that automatically or absolutely that this kind of practice is not acceptable. And the Bach also seems to concur with the Ma'arik in his understanding of the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara discusses there a hairstyle that was common, characteristic of the Gentile world. It should have been also because of Chukos HaHakam. But the Gemara says there was a gentleman named Abtulmas ben Rubain. He cut his hair in that style because he was very influential in the ruling circles of the king. And he was someone who was able to intervene on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam implies that had he not cut his hair in such a fashion, then the non-Jews would have shunned him for not appearing as one of them. So he had no choice. The Rambam is found in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Avodah Zarah Halacha Gimel with reference to someone who's carved the Malchus. Someone who's carved the Malchus may have to behave somewhat differently than the average person would because of the particular intervention or interventionist elements that he's involved in with the ruling circles, with the government, etc. And the Beis Yosef explains that Hatzalah Klal Yisrael overrides the prohibition of Chukos HaHakam. So normally that which we also in the normal circumstances may be permissible for those who need to associate with Goyim for the security of the Jewish community. On the other hand, the Bach says that a practice is permissible not only in extreme cases, but even under normal circumstances. But again, assuming that it's motivated by a kavana for Hatzalah Klal Yisrael, rather than a desire to acknowledge them. So then the Bach seems to be masking with the Ma'arik, and that seems to be a very universally acclaimed and accepted kind of position among the Dolei HaPoskim. The Vilna Gaon, and I actually have it here, but it's in small print, so it's in Yerodeh, Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, Sivkot and Zayin. He's not happy with the synopsis that the Ma'arik presented because of its inconsistency with the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and he has his own understanding of B'chukosem Lo Seidechu. The Gaon writes that the two texts, namely Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin, although they are concerning, obviously, B'chukosem Lo Seidechu, they share a common denominator. Namely, if I have a minog that could evolve in Jewish circles without the initiation of any Hashpa of the non-Jewish world, so that what the Gaon says, that is the prerequisite for a custom to be sanctioned, regardless of other factors. And also, his deal is in the Lashon of the Gemara, we did not derive this from the Goyim. And his point is well seen, and the reasons offered in the two Gemaras. Burning of a king's possessions is a symbol of chashivas, of kavod. And that was an idea that we perhaps conceived on our own, and such is permitted. The second reason, where the Torah explicitly sanctions the custom, namely Pesukim and Tanakh, is further proof that its practice by us has its origin in the Torah, our own source, rather than in the Gentile code of behavior. So as the Gaon sees it, the case brought to the attention of the Ma'arik about the cape of the physician or the philosopher would be awesome, because we never devised that particular mode of dress of our own accord. So the Gaon has an unusual kind of position, but generally speaking, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch follows the principles that are expressed by the Ma'arik. I'll just read his Lashon. Avodaber shenagu l'toeles. The Ramah says things that are adopted for a particular reason. Kigon shedar kan shekol mishu rofe mumcha. Yesh lo malvish miyuchad. The white coat or the green scrubs that we know over here. I don't know what they do in Europe or South Africa, but here they wear green scrubs or they wear white coats. So shenika bo shu rofe uman. So perhaps that's what the Ma'arik is referring to, the dress of a doctor. That's how the Bikkur Yosef generally, and this is the position of the Ma'arik, that more or less is accepted in the halacha. It's quoted, as I said, by the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, quoted by the Birkei Yosef in Yerodea. And of course, we have to now try to see more specific areas where we'll talk about halacha lemaisa aspects of this issue. But that we're going to do, Yetz Hashem, hopefully in the next year. And there are a number of tshuvas of Agoyin and Asher Feinstein Zatzal that Lee Nether, I will send you with reference to this matter. We also have an issue that's found here on the Imam and Comments that I did send you, namely on page number 15, the famous tshuva. There are several tshuvas of Asher Feinstein relating to the Tarnu Gohodu, relating to the turkey on Thanksgiving, which, of course, as everyone knows, is a din daraisa, a very significant halacha that one is obligated to follow. And we have to go ahead and fulfill that. I think I mentioned already once before that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal on Thanksgiving Day in America, so the building that he said the shir in was always closed that day because it's a holiday in the country. And so he was moved to another Beis Medrash. And the other Beis Medrash, Chazal say, shinu makom, shinu vest. So apparently there was a change in his vest. And as a result, the shiur began at 9 o'clock, and usually around 4:30 or so during the winter. So all of a sudden, he was reminded that it's not far away from Shkia. We have to daven mincha before Shkia. Of course, he was makbid to finish Chazaras Hashatz before Shkia as well. And then someone told him also, today is a Yom Tov. That's Mazal Oshin. So the Rav asked, what Yom Tov are you referring to? So he said, Thanksgiving. Oh, the Rav said, I must have my turkey with my cranberry sauce before Shkia. I don't know if I'll be able to be successful, to have atzloche in having that turkey. Every single Thanksgiving, the same story happened over and over again. I don't think he ever made it since the shir always went per Shkia. We love mincha, then he went back to the shir. Kilo, nothing happened. He forgot about his turkey, his cranberry sauce. But he always made that joke. But I don't think he was opposed to it, but we'll discuss it, Yitz Hashem, hopefully in the next year. We'll talk about some practical halacha. Maybe I'll send you a few more tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein, that's all. And we'll try to overview them to the extent that we can.
Does that mean that the